Hell, boy, you ought to have seen the beautiful crops we had here. Oh, you never saw such beautiful alfalfa grew up here.
It's hard to imagine the landscape Orville Tomke is describing as we drive along back roads near his home in Crowley County. The alfalfa is long gone. So are the sugar beets and melons Tomke's neighbors used to plant. Instead, acre after acre of dry grass stretches outside the car windows. And those are the good parts. Many of the old fields are just stubble and bare dirt.
And look at them late weeds that come up.
Yep.
God dang it. See, they grazed that, and there ain't no grass hardly in there. It's just that kochia weed.
Tomke remembers when things here changed. In the 1970s, a run of dry years and the closure of the sugar processing plant had a lot of farmers in a financial squeeze. And that's when a group of cities came to Crowley, looking for water.
They said, we'll give you 30 days, and if you don't sign up in 30 days, we'll never buy your water. We won't even talk to you. Everybody just went crazy to get the money, you know. Things were tough, and a lot of them owed money, and a lot of them had poor farms.
It's called buy and dry. The farmers keep their land, but their water goes to the city. That first water deal was followed by several more. In a few decades, Crowley County changed completely. This is semi-arid land. Rainfall alone isn't nearly enough to grow crops here.
Before the water sold, there was over 1,000 farms on 80 acres, 100 acres, 40 acres. And now there's only 11 of us. It ruined the county.
And Tomke says Crowley didn't just lose its farms. When those farmers stopped buying tractors and hiring laborers, the towns dried up too.
Now, all the springs, when I came there, they had two filling stations, a hardware store, bar, two garages. And now the only thing that's left is a cafe, and it changes hands about every other year.
Tomke still mourns the changes to his county. But John Stulp, the governor's water advisor and a farmer himself, says it would be a mistake to see the farmers as victims in this story. For many, being able to sell their water rights is a godsend.
If you do not have sons or daughters that are willing to come back to the farming operation, oftentimes a farmer's irrigated water rights become their 401k, their retirement fund.
We're talking about some big money here. Rights to the most desirable agricultural water can go for more than $10,000 an acre foot, and farmers often own hundreds of those. Cities are always looking to buy. It's hard to pin down exactly how much of the state has gone back to grass or is on its way because of urban water buys, but best guesses put the number at hundreds of square miles. State Supreme Court Justice Gregory Hobbs is an expert in Colorado water law. He says what happened in places like Crowley County made Colorado officials more cautious about water deals between cities and farmers.
People realized that the tax base of local communities were being affected by these transfers, so the legislature basically adopted what I'm going to call mitigation.
Now the cities can't just buy the water and walk away. They've got to do a lot before they ever see a drop of it.
Now the legislature has provided there must be revegetation when water is permanently removed. There are in-lieu taxes that have to be paid to support the local library and fire district and town for 30 years.
New water deals often come with even stricter mitigation requirements than that. The change is on full display not too far south of Crowley County, around the town of Rocky Ford. This area is famous for its melons, but there are a lot fewer of them growing today than there used to be. Starting in the 1980s, the city of Aurora bought water rights to dozens of farms here, and it's still working to return those fields to native grass. Range worker Rick Keenitz shows off his efforts.
This right here is Blue Grandma. Got side oats out here, buffalo grass.
Keenitz says revegetation isn't as simple as throwing some grass seeds on a bare field. It's a tricky process. The city spent years and a lot of water to establish thriving grasslands here.
We want it to be sustainable. We don't want it to look like a dirt patch. We don't want it to look like a weed patch. It's not going to produce melons ever again. It's not going to produce corn, but it's going to produce feed and produce good grass-fed beef.
Aurora's commitment won't end when the cows start grazing. The city is responsible for keeping these grasslands in Otero County healthy for the next 3 decades. And the whole time, it'll be sending the county money to make up for lost taxes. That's the new reality of transferring agricultural water to urban use. A lot of the cost comes after the city inks its deal with the farmer. And Keenett says water transfers just keep getting more expensive.
It's a harder process given the political climate and the stipulations that are put on you now. It is harder to move water out. A lot more expensive to move water from farmland now than it used to be.
Urban water customers might be surprised to realize how much of their monthly utility bill goes to parts of the state far from where they live to pay for things that don't sound like water projects.
It is interesting to talk to someone in Aurora and tell them that we work for the city down here in Rocky Ford, 3 hours away. Yeah.
While the practice of buy and dry has evolved, there's no way to change its inevitable outcome. Despite all the new requirements on cities, the end result is still the same. Year by year, the plains are turning back into prairie. Arkansas Valley farmer John Schweitzer has watched the process happen around him for decades. Losing the water is heartbreaking to him.
Once the cities have bought it and taken it, you're not going to get it back because then people aren't going to move out of the city and they need the water. So once it's gone, it's gone. It's gone forever, and that's the sad part.
Schweitzer is working on an alternative to buy and dry. Along with most of the valley's remaining farmers, he's part of a new project that aims to keep crops growing here and cities growing on the Front Range. It's called the Super Ditch, and tomorrow we'll explain how it works and what the challenges are. Megan Verlee, Colorado Public Radio News.